Let's start with some introductions. So around the room, Dave Quigley, Dave Gonzalez, Council Co-Chair.
TJ Lee Miyake, Council Member.
Jill, Council Staff.
Melina Clark, Council Staff.
Mark Lohner, Council Staff.
Beth Neri, HIV Health Services.
Nina Smith, Council Member.
Steven Spano, HCAP Attorney, Staff Attorney.
Lee Jewell, Council Member.
Fantastic. So let's go and review the agenda for today. No changes, correct?
The only change would be that number 7 is really just a COLA update.
Okay. I was going to ask. Cool. So if there's no nays, I guess I'll go ahead and approve the agenda by consensus. Number 3, review and approve the August 7th draft minutes. I'll give y'all a minute to really look at it because those things are like 3 months old.
Announcements? I don't see any announcements.
My bad.
Any announcements, Mark, from staff?
No.
As the health department is. Oh, wait, the health department is here. Any health department announcements?
I do not have any at this time.
Great. Let's move forward. HCAP report, sir.
I can just go over the trends again. There's not a whole lot changed as far as trends are concerned, just the numbers that are up. Again, some outpatient issues. Some folks following last week or 2 months ago. We reported on non-medical case management. I have been able to connect some of those folks to non-medical case management. So the conversation was helpful, at least for me and for our mutual clients. Still seeing a number of substance use residential treatment issues. Those tend to be a big one nowadays because there's a lot of cohabitation with clients who have comorbidities, and it's in a lot of instances it just feeds conflict. So that winds up being a good space for mediation, where people need to maintain their, a relationship with their neighbors and or roommates. And still work on whatever issues they have going on. It's just a very lengthy process. So you'll probably notice on the HCAP report, there's a number of pending issues that have been there for a couple of months. That's not a result of the clients not working on it. It's not a result of the agencies not working on it. It's certainly not a result of me not working on it. It's that they are delicate issues that require some creative resolution sometimes and some ongoing monitoring. So. Pretty creative. I'm happy to field any questions. Oh, I guess I did want to mention, because there was discussion about changing the HCAP report. I've discussed the format with a number of people. I really appreciate the committee being open to the discussion, but it is a little bit more in depth than what I initially thought. Not only have there been some staff changes at AORP, which have kind of presented progress on that, because the person that we replaced is our technical person who handles all of our data center. So in order for me to get to the data and manipulate the data and change the way that it's generated, she and I have to work very closely. She is really just ramping up right now, so I've got to let her settle in before I can throw any of this stuff at her. But I am in conversations with it, but it requires talking with the DPH. In fact, I just put a phone call into you. We can talk about it at some point. But yeah. So I just need to wrap my head around it a little bit more before I can present some prototypes.
Is that in part about the service trends page or all across?
I guess I just wanted to interview you on your use of the report and what is beneficial and what is not beneficial, like what can be pared down, but we can have a conversation whenever.
Okay, just a preview for the group in case you guys want to weigh in on this one part. The service funds, I believe Jeremy introduced this as an annual thing, and it wasn't hard for him to do on a monthly basis, so he's continued, but if that's the part that you're having a struggle with, that we look at it more seriously on an annual basis than on a monthly basis, at least from DPH. I don't know about, I haven't been attending this particular committee, but.
Okay, is that helpful for, if that's helpful for the committee, I can continue. That's not the most challenging part of it.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's none of it is all that challenging. It's just that if it can be more useful, I would like to make it more useful. So that's really all the conversation was about.
So what were some of the things that people thought would make it more useful, or like?
Well, I think the way that the conversation came up a couple of months ago was just that we discussed the need, if I remember correctly, and we can go back to the minutes if we need to, but if I remember correctly, the conversation came up around non-medical case management, and that's how the conversation came up. And I think it was mentioned to Kevin that we, you know, I think Ben or somebody, one of the co-chairs brought up, like, oh, we can look at this report to see exactly what the needs are, and I had to interject, and I was like, well, honestly, this would not show a need for which we don't, you know, this wouldn't necessarily show a need in that service category just because somebody wasn't able to access those services or what couldn't find those services. Like, you know, if there's a barrier to access, that's something that would be on the report. But if somebody calls me or somebody is knows they need medical case management but they've been on a wait list for a year and a half, they wouldn't necessarily, you wouldn't see that on this report. The report wouldn't provide that need. And so I think where I was coming from was if the DPH needed a paper trail to show that it was a need, and they were going to use this report to show that it was a need in order to get funding, it wouldn't work.
Right.
So I was offering to modify my report in some way or consider modifying the report. The same issue still exists, right? It's impossible to show. It's very difficult to prove a negative. I can't show that a service doesn't exist, right? Like, we all have that problem, you know, including the DPH. So it's not an easy thing to show. But I was, you know, offering to look into seeing how the report could be more helpful for DPH or whoever, you know, the committee, in order to go, you know, search for funding in certain areas.
So then, would this change mean that, say, the things that you have listed down for referrals and resources, I assume, are in alignment with what you're talking about, as far as, like, if someone calls and says, I don't know, I need to do this, and you just simply refer to one of the agencies that provides that service category. Was the conversation that you had a couple months ago about, in some ways, combining referrals and resources with service trends so that you actually can log any kind of touch you might have around a specific service category?
So the service trend, well, see, I was going to attempt to do that, and that's why it's a little murky, right? Because none of this stuff comes in a clear driveway, right? The clients don't show up to my desk saying, like, hey, I need a non-medical case manager to help me get to my meetings, right?
Absolutely.
They show up with all the needs,
yeah,
and it's a matter of discussing what, you know, what it is that they need, and, you know, what they're presenting about. If they're presenting regarding a roommate issue, that's what I wind up working on, that's the grievance I wind up drafting, and that's what winds up where I wind up spending the bulk of my time. Tangentially, then I, you know, a lot of the, you know, less tangible needs present themselves to me, and I use my best judgment to try and connect them to the service providers that I know are in the city. Mm-hmm. You know, Shanti is a frequent referral of mine. Others, you know, and that's why those names are on there. That's why the referrals are on there. What might be more helpful to this committee is maybe not making such a, perhaps those referrals just being listed as referrals rather than requiring a full paragraph to discuss that I referred a client to a service. I could just list those in the referral section without describing the exact issue, just all as service providers knowing that's how it kind of goes down, and only really talk about the grievances or disputes or barriers that have to be overcome. That could probably get pared down to 2 pages as opposed to, you know, 7 pages of pending report, you know, pending cases or something like that, or pending referrals.
Okay. That makes sense, because there's obviously a difference between a barrier to service or a challenge with a service and a civil referral.
Right. Yeah. And I think for DPH purposes, you know, you don't necessarily need to know that every time somebody is getting referred to a service, but it helps to show where the challenges are, where the barriers are, to have each of those like highlighted instead of, you know, the minor issues.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like a good idea. And you may not know, we may not actually, usually Dean and I, or Dean and Kevin, I would meet with Jeremy every year to talk about the trends we saw, and some revision of the report usually happens.
Oh, okay.
At times.
Oh, so I didn't.
We haven't invited you for a meeting just yet.
Oh, no, that's okay. I didn't realize
that.
Yeah, and we can talk about the report today, though, before we even sign that up.
Yeah. Okay, Anyway, I just, so the committee knows in some minutes, I'm open to whatever, and I just want to be helpful. I don't want to overburden people with reading material.
Well, okay. So, you know what? I mean, I'm just going to throw this out there. I would love to see, like, demographics, basic demographics.
So that is something that I can look into. It was a conversation when Ben and Eric met about the report. That was something that they mentioned. It's not the first time it's been mentioned. I spoke with Bill about it as well. It's not the first time it's been mentioned. It's not the hardest thing to do. Again, I have to talk with our data person to make sure that I can, you know, transmit the information to me and also get it onto the page. Assuming all of that is, you know, doable, which I can't see any reason why it wouldn't be. I guess my only objection would be that all of that data be taken with a grain of salt, because I wouldn't necessarily say that my data is statistically relevant, right? I mean, I'm going to see what, you know, 80, 90 cases, 90 people in this year, and many of them are repeat, you know, consumers from either last year or previous years. I don't know that that's necessarily a significant data source for, I don't know that's statistically significant given that the EMA has like, what, 15,000 HIV positive consumers that are already connected to services. We don't even know the people that aren't. So that's my only thing.
I'm wondering if statistics like that, like race even, is relevant. I mean, I want to hear more on this, yeah.
I think it is relevant. I don't think it's statistically relevant. You can't look at the statistics around race or gender, age, sexual orientation, and get something that is meaningful for, say, the entire EMA service trends. But what you can get is those particular demographics of people who are experiencing a big enough level of challenges and barriers to care. So if you're not going to be able to look at that and say, well, this is provable because this equals that, but you'll be able to say, well, clearly the number of, say, I'll use myself an example, Filipinos are experiencing barriers of care are high because half of my calls or half of my meetings were with people who were Southeast Asian. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where it could be useful. You can't use it to portray a particular trend within the entire EMA, but you can use it to portray a trend as far as just who is actually getting these services, and it's, I think, important enough info that even if we don't receive it monthly, it should be something that we receive at least during our annual report.
I think annually it is reported, and it was reported in the annual report that I read actually in preparation for the summit.
Because if trends are as they've been throughout the years, what we're mainly going to see is communities of color, trans populations, and seniors/long-term survivors experiencing the most challenges around barriers to care. So keep that info relevant.
Yeah, and if we are going to report that kind of data, I wanted to keep it at least yearly because we do it monthly. I think we're able to deduce who is, because these reports are public,
mm-hmm.
So I am just concerned about the confidentiality. But it was really interesting to see that, because if we were to do that sort of data trend yearly, and if we hear folks in the community saying, like, well, I had this issue, this barrier, and it was never addressed, and we look at it, and we're just like, well, are we as service providers referring enough people to HCAP to help resolve some of their issues? And so I think it works both ways to keep us also accountable.
I guess the reason why I asked the question is because it's a problem that is the reason why the person's accessing the service. I can imagine there's a correlation between those people who are experiencing problems, who don't access the service for a whole variety of reasons, right? So I guess it's a trend, but how relevant it is, it seems like because someone is accessing a service because they're experiencing a problem, wouldn't necessarily give us enough information to show this is a problem throughout the AMA, right? So I think it's great if it helps us. I'm just wanted us to figure out exactly what we're asking for and why and what it means, right?
So I have Mark and TJ.
Yeah, I think for that very reason is why I would resist actually having a monthly counting of demographics.
Okay.
Because that would, in some ways, like, shift focus away from where we need to focus, which is service categories.
Yeah.
You know, obviously you've seen it. Like, we've had enough challenges with certain service categories that eventually the council with DPH gets involved and say a service category then has to come to the council and explain sort of like their service model. We've seen that with it too, at least. So that's really what the focus of this. But I think the demographic stuff in a yearly report is interesting. You know, it's just interesting to like, again, like shore up our already basic knowledge that communities of color, trans, those ones that I mentioned, continue to experience those barriers to care.
Okay.
And the biggest number of challenges where there is advocacy happening. So
yeah.
You see what I mean? Like, but
I
monthly, I think, would create too much of a spotlight on it when the data isn't necessarily statistically relevant.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I can see that side. I'm not that worried about, you know, somebody looking at the report and then figuring out. I think it would be really hard to figure out who was going to what agency and getting services. So the outing thing, I don't think is a big deal. But then if we could see it, I think getting it once a year is just not useful. I mean, what if, say, one of our dental care providers all of a sudden started having all these problems with a particular race because of a lack of cultural
competency?
Well,
we actually see that, though. We see that portrayed in this report.
No, we see a problem with a service category, but we don't actually see, like, if all of a sudden 20 clients came in who were African American and said, I went to this service provider and I got spoken to this way. You know,
that's what the report
that's
does.
What the, that's
it,
the,
it does
the
actually portray
that.
Because
right?
Sometimes we'll see things like around cultural competency.
It's the reason
right,
why.
You know what I mean? Or the, you know,
yeah. The
consumer felt that they were disrespected as a trans woman. You know, we
right.
see stuff
yeah.
like this here. So we do actually see it. Just the collating monthly just seems problematic.
What about quarterly?
Biannually? Split the difference?
I was going to add that I would be pretty careful to only make it aggregate because I think that in conjunction, like already the stories are, if you know the person, which, you know, like it just seems like sometimes, occasionally within this meeting, and I've been here a year or two, but like I've seen it possible, people, it definitely dawned on them who probably we're talking about, and that's without any extra context, and they're written generally enough that
yeah.
right,
it
right,
shouldn't
yeah.
be, but you know, like
right.
if you just happen to be friends with a person, it might, like, you know, like,
I mean, or more
city,
likely. I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt.
Oh no, that was my last. Go ahead.
Sorry, I'm not used to that. More likely is somebody in this room or somebody on the planning council is a service provider that is dealing with it and then can recognize that number. That person has the same number for the rest of the year, you know, and that's the more likely scenario where the confidentiality thing is concerned. I actually echo your confidentiality concern, the confidentiality concerns that I'm hearing.
But, I mean, if we're the service provider and we know about this issue, then we already have a release from them. So the idea that I know about a situation that my clients said that they're going to go report to you and it gets presented here, I don't see that, to me, doesn't cause a confidentiality issue.
I just was going to echo what Stephen said about, like, for example, the second or the third one on the page, if the client number of being 47, there's two linked cases. And then throughout the year, like, they're always client number 47. And so even if you, as the service provider, know about that one service incident, you wouldn't necessarily know they had a separate housing issue or a separate
okay.
something else.
Right.
So we and we had that added in at one point because there were a lot of the same clients, and that seemed important at a certain point. So it's a balance. We could take that. Like, that may not be the most important detail, but, you know,
sure.
it's just, like, the collective set.
Sure.
That also, by the way, would affect the demographics, right? Because if that person is getting counted more than one or two times each
right.
time they appear on the report,
yep.
It's going to compromise the data.
Well, I just think once a year is not useful enough, and I would like to get it more than once a year. I would even go with Mark on biannually.
Twice a year? All right. So why don't you bring this topic up again next month when the co-chairs are here, and then see where that... Yeah. Well, I think there's an argument to be made for being received more than once a year, but also obviously an argument to be made against receiving it monthly, for sure.
Okay. So if we can add that to the...
We'll just make sure to bring it up.
Okay.
It's on the agenda.
Oh, you can direct this one on. Okay.
Do you want to... Why don't we give him a brief... Why don't you give him a brief...
Oh, so what we're doing is that we're looking at this report and Stephen's thinking...
I'm sorry for that.
Oh, no, it's okay. It's okay. Stephen's thinking about restructuring the way this is reported and then putting, like, demographic in terms of, like, race and then, like, age and all that stuff into this report. So we're just talking about how to make this report much more relevant and whether it should be, like, a yearly thing that we get all this aggregate information or twice a year.
While not making it completely obvious who we're talking
about.
Because we have to respect confidentiality of both the consumers being noted here and actually the service provider as well. That's going to be almost impossible.
Because this is a public document, so once it enters this realm here, like, this is posted on a website and anybody has access to it. So we want to make sure that if we get this information, that it remains relevant, but also that it doesn't help anybody, specifically consumers.
Okay. Yeah. Stephen, were you thinking of changing...
I'm sorry.
I thought you were talking.
Yes, you said concerning this once a year or twice a year.
Yeah.
I believe twice a year would fit because then everything would stay up to date, whereas once a year...
Something could be left out.
By mistake.
So we're talking about the demographics, not so much the receipt of this report itself once a year, but running a demographics report. So we'd still continue to get a version of this once a month, for sure. So it would be continually updated. I think the question is more on, do we want to know the demographic snapshot of who all these people are once a year or twice a year?
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Understood.
Mark?
In your discussion, I'm sorry that I'm a latecomer to this. I haven't been to the last... I don't know how many meetings of this committee. Dave's got this covered. Were you guys thinking of changing even the synopses, like the action parts of these?
The conversation wasn't that robust. When you say the synopses, you mean these paragraphs?
The action. Yeah.
Only what we were just discussed, which is paring them down to only be representative of, and the criteria we can discuss when the co-chairs are back too. But I mean, if it only highlights the grievances filed, disputes with service providers, or barriers to service, that would significantly decrease the number of the amount of writing. The number of pages probably only be like one or two pages, for example, sometimes just for paperwork purposes or whatever, it takes a minute to complete a referral. It could be on the page for two.
Yeah.
I have one client who's waiting for food services. They've been suspended, but they're waiting for case management to get up and running. They're connected with case management, but the service provider wanted to see several months of case management and activity in order to reinstate them. Mm-hmm. That doesn't necessarily need to stay on the list because they're waiting for that period. It seemed inappropriate to take it off of the list because it wouldn't necessarily give a good snapshot of where that client is at for, you know, why they were connected to services, what it is that they still need.
I see.
But if it's limited to where it is an ongoing barrier, and just not including referrals or referrals that are taking in a month to complete or paperwork or something like that, it significantly decreases the paper.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly, I don't, for the purposes of, the purpose of this to even appear at this committee. I mean, of course, the initial purpose was because the council created the program, obviously, many years ago. But for its continuing relevance is to provide this group, community engagement, a snapshot of challenges that parts of the community are facing. Like, that's the basic reason why you are reporting this information to us. So with that being sort of the basic parameters, I actually don't see why we'd even have to see things like closed cases. And I think an argument could be made around pending. I think what we're getting here is like an idea of like what are some of the biggest challenges that some of our folks that we're supposed to be supporting actually facing. And that's all. I mean, and sometimes we have questions. Sometimes we might even provide suggestions that might be helpful, because there's certainly service providers and consumers and government often at the table. But mainly we're just getting that snapshot. And if you're looking at snapshots, that's where things like new cases and service trends and referrals are useful. But creating a history, for example, where we can track where 47 was in this and in that, that's not under our purview, nor should we be doing that in the first place. So if you want to make it tighter, that would be my strong suggestion, is like anything that is trackable to an individual is not useful for us. But getting a snapshot of like if we continue to see, like, say, a certain service category appear with similar problems, that's saying something to us.
I don't think that we should take the closed cases out of there.
What's the argument that you'd actually want to keep it for?
Because, I mean, and this is not a full tally of the cases, like, you next month you take these ones off, right? It's not a tally for the
anything
year.
Anything that was closed on last month,
right,
was removed from the report. Would, regardless of whether it was a case that I opened and closed very quickly or a case that was pending and then closed.
Sure.
So one could go back to last month's report and see last month's closed cases, and you would see the continuity throughout.
Yeah.
You would also be able to see where these cases were last month, or on last month's report, which what I'm hearing, well, what I heard from Mark was that it is not helpful and, in fact, probably
inappropriate.
But I just know that
my point, TJ, as far as like it's inappropriate for us as council members who are supposed to be looking at systems and trends to be able to literally follow a particular individual, anonymous or not, throughout their journey in the system. You know what I mean? Like, that's
right.
not appropriate, but I don't look at it
like we're following a particular individual. We're following a particular service category and an issue.
And we get that, though, with that last
page.
I know.
But I know that sometimes, you know, like, we want to know what happens in the end. Like, what's their resolution?
But that's our hunger for narrative.
Yeah.
Which is not what we're here for.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to admit,
or
so...
If the provider isn't, you know, like...
I get it, but...
Yeah.
I actually totally agree with TJ in that when I read these, I read the new cases first, and then I jump to the closed cases.
Yeah.
Because that shows that the things are being resolved, and how they're, like, whether or not it sounds like a satisfactory resolution, which it generally does.
Mm-hmm.
But if it didn't, like, it would come through, you know, that something was reached, but it wasn't, like, maybe the best.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
and I do glance through the pending, and actually, you know, but, like, I've read them the month before, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I would.
But you see the difference in like your perspective and what
yes,
the council
yeah,
should
I,
be, because you're doing it through.
We're looking for early warning
also,
system for our contracts.
Also, yeah,
yeah.
This is contract management. Like, so if you're seeing something that you're like, okay, did this actually get solved? That's something that you'd actually talk to the contractor about. We don't have that power, nor should we be doing that. So that's what I'm saying. Like, as far as like,
right,
we're not here to follow that narrative to see if like it actually. I don't know why I'm using that word. I hate that word actually. Following the story. Just a narrative, to its fruition and whether it was a failure or not, you know? Like, that's for contract management to be like, well, let's talk about this case. It looks like something happened, and it wasn't resolved. We can't do that. We're supposed to be looking at trends. That's
right.
Why I assume you would, like, DPH would receive a maybe more robust version of the report.
We do.
Yeah.
We get the agency name. That's the only difference.
Yeah.
That's why we read it.
All the more reason for you to have that meeting you talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I want to kind of counter on something you said, because you say it appears in the new case and then it's in the pending case. So I think seeing it one more time as a closed case, you know, the information's already out there. If we're worried about outing somebody or an agency, then we shouldn't even have the report. He should just verbally give
that's
it
not
to
what
us.
I understand the concern people have, but that's that's not what I'm worried about.
Okay.
I'm worried about us losing our focus.
Yeah.
The focus should be on trends.
Yeah.
Our focus should not be on individual stories. as emotional and as tough as they might be. I mean, it's important to get a snapshot, but I want to be see the council, I mean, I want to see, the council should be looking at a series of snapshots to see, is there a trend happening there? Is there a problem happening with dental again? Is there a problem happening with food again? Rather than like getting locked into like, wow, this client has had it rough. Those are important things, and it's more under the purview of the contractor and the grantee than us.
Yeah, if, and I feel like moving forward as the community engagement committee, if we want to highlight the success of some of our consumers, then let's develop a mechanism for that, but this is not it. Like, this is not it for it. This is actually about, as Mark detailed.
It might be through COLAs that we do that, because then we're actually there in person talking to people,
right.
And if we want to highlight people who have had such compelling stories and are actually representative of successes or challenges, then that could be a good panel. But you see what I mean? This is almost like a magnet to like,
yeah,
you can get easily bogged down in. As people who are caregivers, that's our natural inclination.
Right. But I'm going to say again, I'm noticing the service category, and like, I think when Stephen and other people in his position in the past have reported back what they've done, it's been useful for service providers here to figure things out. It's been useful on approaches on how to work with clients and how to direct them for the service providers. And it also, it seems like, you know, you would have it's like giving somebody a book with, and then taking out the last chapter. You don't, you know, if we're going to know about the beginning, the problem, the work that's being done on it, then we should know about the resolution. And because I really don't look at this as client stories, I look at this as service categories and provider issues. And it helps us to know that, like, okay, if he, like I said, once again, like, and this kind of goes back to the demographics thing, if we see that the same service category and they know the agency is having an issue, then that tells us right away that we need to go educate them, we need to do something, or maybe it's a way to figure out another program that needs to be developed.
Yeah, but again, the danger, though, is that a story could be so compelling that the group decides that this is a problem that is larger in scope than it actually might be. You know, that's also the danger of looking at it as a story. Like, a story could be so compelling that you want to go then to DPH and say, Dean, it sounds like there needs some cultural competency around this, because this was really hard, you know?
Yeah. And so my question is, I mean, not just for the sake of time, but I think for the sake of not the really even the original sort of question about the report, is do we want to think about what it would look like to do a best practice based on some of the stuff? Like, what is a best practice for people who engage in like this kind of thing? You know, like, for instance, some of the housing disputes of like a neighbor. I don't know. It's one of those things where like there's so much rich data here, but we're also really, you're correct, that I feel that we're veering completely off what the purpose of these reports were, which is to look at the system and look at what our charge is. And that's something that I think is, anyways. Yes.
But, you know, and see, I look at it a different way. When you said it's a neighbor, it's obviously a neighbor at a service provider who's getting funding from us. So once again, maybe that agency is not doing what they're supposed to be doing to provide a safe living environment for somebody.
And that's the DPH,
yeah, that's
charge.
Their job.
That's their job.
We want to look at overall trends happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm concerned that we're going to be so bogged down in individual stories and want to take an action on an individual level that we're losing the forest from the trees kind of thing, right? We're so bogged down in all the detail that we're not really paying attention to the overall trend. And I think Mark's comment is a good one, is that that story may not be representative of a whole trend.
Right. But I don't see us jumping up on that one story and like going, oh my God, we got to go take this dental provider stuff.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
I've seen it. I've felt it myself when reading a story that like, oh, this is a problem that we need to be, like, we can't have this anymore. It's
and
such
it,
a tough
it is
story.
Sometimes when we run it down, it was real idiosyncratic. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's a general problem, but it can go either way, and it's not always obvious in this person's reading.
I mean, just as two examples, like how I think this report has worked successfully, although I still see them on here, so semi-successfully, is that we kept on seeing a trend of the service category dental and the service category food.
Yep.
And so things happened because of that. Dental came to see us, and there were meetings between past HCAP and DPH and the food provider, because we kept on seeing that over and over and over again. And that's what we're here, like, that's our purview.
Yep.
Oh, I was just going to say, it sounds like both from DPH and council's perspective, streamlining or trying a different version, everybody seems open to it with some reservations,
yeah.
like with, you know, with some competing interests.
Well, so
yeah.
it helps me to have each individual entity's needs and what they get out of the report, and so that's why I would love a more robust conversation with you and Dean, and that'll help me kind of guide.
Not always obvious what we get. We'll talk about more.
Yeah, because you're serving kind of two masters here, right? You're serving, you're providing information because we created this and we want to look at trends, but then there's an also useful input, because of it's a client that has an actual complaint that could indicate an issue that can be worked out with DPH. So that's your balancing act.
And he's got a third master.
I agree with it. It should be more like a trend rather than individual cases, because just by harm reduction, you know.
Oh, we're trying not to name people here.
I'm sorry. But just people come in with just the housing alone. My navigation center is not doing this, and the other person's navigation center is on point. Everything is good. So trend is better.
Yeah.
An individual case.
Yeah, we should move on. Anyways, do you feel you have enough, or can we get a summary of some of the things that
I feel confident that I have, but I can go over what I heard, which was that it's a main necessity for this body is to have a snapshot of challenges that are facing the community. There's a preference, it seems like, for trends, not stories, as enticing as the stories may be. And now that I'm thinking about it, if there's less narrative, then there's less of a confidentiality issue with regard to the demographics. Although I still have the concerns about it being statistically relevant and potentially corruptible because of the actual numbers. But those are all things that I can think about, unless there's anything else.
No, and then of course you can check in with the PH and also with the co-chairs. Ben's like a really good resource. Just so much information.
Yeah, I suggest a meeting after you meet with Dean and Beth and whoever else to actually just meet with Ben and Eric too as well.
We had one meeting we scheduled that meeting right after the last time this came up. So that was the beginning of the process.
Yeah, cool. It's a process. So.
Yeah.
If you guys were comfortable, thank you so much.
Yeah. I appreciate your patience.
Thank you for sitting with us through this process. We all like here. All right, thank you so much. Let's move on to the next topic. Needs assessment and COLA updates.
So, hey everyone. So, apologies for the many different documents that you have in front of you. These are the results of two COLAs we did. One COLA at Shanti, focusing on women who use drugs, and another COLA at San Francisco Community Health Center, focusing on trans women of color. And so I was thinking we could just kind of go one by one and just kind of go over our findings. So why don't we start with the first poll we did, which was the women who use drugs. Sorry, let me just organize myself here. So I don't want to kind of bog everyone down by reading all of this word for word, but I was thinking we could just first kind of briefly go over the prioritization exercise and the kind of basic demographics and survey questions, just to give you an idea of the group, and then we could go over the kind of summary itself. So first thing to mention is that there were only there were four people at this COLA. So I think that we should take, especially like the dot exercise, kind of with a grain of salt, just because with such a small amount of participants, I think that probably the qualitative data might be a little more telling than the quantitative data. So I guess just to briefly go over the survey first, which is this page with the graphs on it. Age ranging from between 45 to 75 and older, two people between 55 and 64. Race, there was a spread between African American, Asian Pacific Islander, Caucasian, and unspecified. Gender at birth, I think three of our respondents responded as female at birth, with one person identifying